Hello, I'm speaking today with Rodney Ellis, the president of the North Carolina Association of Educators. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Rodney Ellis.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you participated in the Moral Mondays protest. For a lot of people who do not know or have not been following this in North Carolina, can you give us a little bit of background about the protest occurring there and your arrest?
Certainly. The Moral Monday protest began as a result or as a response to some bad legislation that has been passed by our Republican-led leadership here in North Carolina. The movement itself began when 13 individuals decided to take a stand and actually were arrested for civil disobedience, and their only crime was actually to just stand in front of the doors to the chamber for the House and the Senate. And for that, they were arrested. It was nonviolent protest. The movement itself has been led by Reverend Dr. William Barber, who is the president of the NAACP here in North Carolina. And he began this movement, and it grew into what is a coalition of about 117 organizations who stand together to protect democracy in North Carolina. And so the movement itself has grown week to week. It began with those 13 individuals, and then by the time the teachers actually got involved on what was the 12th or the 13th Moral Monday, the crowd was up to about 10,000.
10,000 people protesting?
Yes, 10,000 people. And that was the event that we actually attended, and it was as a result of the budget which was passed. It had made devastating cuts to public education. It infuriated educators, and we came out in mass to voice our opinion. And I consequently was arrested as well for civil disobedience, but I feel like I did what needed to be done on behalf of the 95,000 educators and 1.5 million students in North Carolina.
Thank you so much. I want to read just a brief section from The Nation magazine. Now, your Republican governor, Pat McCrory, was elected in 2012. The Republicans took both state houses. They, for the first time, Republicans have control over the legislative and executive branch since the late 1800s. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So, The Nation magazine says, so far this year, legislation passed or pending by Republicans would eliminate the earned income tax credit for 900,000 people, decline Medicaid coverage for 500,000, end federal unemployment benefits, cut pre-K for 30,000 kids, shifting $90 million. I mean, the list goes on. There is a quote from Reverend Barber at the bottom that says, they've drank all the Tea Party they could drink and sniffed all the Coke they could sniff. So it's a little bit crass, and yet he's saying these are things that Republicans have been talking about and threatening in a lot of different states, and all of a sudden in North Carolina you had this perfect storm, and they passed almost all of it, right?
They did. They passed every bit of it. I think the only bill that was vetoed that was a bad bill was the drug testing bill. They passed a law that would make Work First recipients or welfare or government assistance recipients tested for drugs before they could receive any benefits, and they'd have to pay for the test up front. And so that's the only one I think that's been held. It's been vetoed. They're supposed to come back and attempt to override the veto on Tuesday. But yes, they passed a slew of bad legislation this year, and you didn't even mention the changes in our election laws, and they are critical. I mean,
and that's what really started this, right? I mean, this was the
exactly. First
voting law. Tell us about that, please.
So, beginning in 2016, voters at the polls will have to show a specific type of government ID in order to cast their vote. Student IDs will no longer be accepted, and teenage pre-registration ends. Actually, I think it ended last week. And then effective in 2014, early voting is cut by 7 days. There'll be no same-day registration, no straight ticket voting, and no out-of-precinct voting. There'll be no stand-by-your-ad and less disclosure for campaign money. The law authorized more partisan observers inside the polls. It empowers vigilant groups to challenge voters and increases corporate money to parties. It kills public financing options and raises contribution limits, and it allows mass mailing of absentee ballot requests. So this is a horrible bill designed to suppress particularly the minority, the seniors and students, and keep them from voting. We've got Another thing they did was they reappointed Republican members, leadership, to all of the election offices in the state of North Carolina. And throughout the state, they are closing precincts on college campuses who mainly voted for President Obama in the last election. This is just, it's bad. It's really bad.
The New York Times calls it a blatant effort to reduce Democratic voting strength in towns like Chapel Hill and Durham, which are big student towns, right?
You're absolutely correct. And the way they've drawn the lines, redrawn the districts here, it already makes it difficult for Democrats to win in any election. So this just compounds that significantly. And the result of it, it's a blatant voter suppression law that designed to make sure that they can maintain power in this state for years to come.
Now, for you, I'm speaking with Rodney Ellis, the president of the North Carolina Association of Educators, about North Carolina's Moral Mondays, massive protests against Republican legislation. And yours specifically, obviously, is about education and the budget that was announced late July. Can you tell us about that and the letter that you wrote?
Certainly. So they passed a $20.6 billion budget. It lays off about 4,000 teacher assistants. It increases class size in our schools. It freezes teachers' pay again, and teachers' pay and salaries have been frozen for the last 6 years now. In the last 6 years, we've had a 1.2% salary increase, which we received last year, but otherwise the pay remains frozen. We are currently 46th in the country. We'll be 48th next year, and that's it's dependent upon what other states do. It's highly possible that we could be 51st in the country in teacher salary in the next year. They ended career status or tenure, as it's more commonly referred to. They ended extra pay for advanced degrees. So if you've got a master's degree and if you're in school right now for a master's degree and you don't graduate by next May, then you will have gone to school for nothing. You will not receive a salary increase. I won't say for nothing, but certainly you want to be able to become a more effective educator, and therefore you go to school, and then you're expected to be compensated for it, and it's not going to happen. They also diverted about $10 million this year and another $40 million next year to fund a private school voucher program, and which will allow students to even go to religious schools through the use of these vouchers. And then, as you mentioned earlier, they cut 2,400 slots for pre-K programs. So the budget was bad, and as a result, once that budget came out, and this is the interesting thing, excuse me, NTAE committed to a strategy at the beginning of this session to work collectively and collaboratively with Republican-led leadership. We made some inroads. We, you know, established some positive relationships, but at the end of the day, the leadership ruled the day, and they passed this budget that took everything from public education and gave nothing. And as a result, we became involved with the Moral Monday protests, and in fact have held several protests of our own for the past week. We've conducted in all the major media outlets in the state and all of the large cities, we've conducted Get Your Facts Straight rallies. And each one of them, even in the small towns, have drawn anywhere from 200 to 400 people up to 1,000 people. And then we had one in Asheville that drew 10,000 people, again, comparison to what happened in Raleigh at the last Moral Monday. So it's enough people out there who are incensed about this budget and incensed about some of the other laws that have been passed to unite people throughout this state. On yesterday, in 13 congressional districts, we held Moral Monday protests to commemorate the March on Washington, the focus again being on the Republican-led attempt to suppress voting rights and to just end democracy in the state of North Carolina. And they were all well attended all across the state. Citizens are angry, they're frustrated, and at the end of the day, we're going to go to the ballot box and let our frustrations be heard there.
So tell us, what has been the response from the Republican leadership? I think I read somewhere the governor claiming that all the protests are being led by outsiders, and so disregarding them. What are some of the results?
The protests themselves are his response. I mean, the governor, they've got this cookie-cutter response that they give to everything. They say that the budget has been been funded, that public schools were funded more in this budget than ever before, yet they fail to take into account the 17,000 new students that are coming into the building. And then, you know, they say that Medicaid is the reason for not being able to give salary increases or anything to educators, and it just the entire response is all based on their attempts to blame the poor for the decisions that they're making. It's always someone else's fault. They never take responsibility for their actions, and that's all we're doing is holding them accountable for the decisions that they make.
And again, we should say this is North Carolina, and they happen to have been able to pass a lot of this, but these kind of laws and these actions are in discussion across the country, right?
Right, because everybody's paying attention to what's happening in North Carolina right now, because I think that if you see the efforts of coalitions become successful in the long run, then you're going to see people fight back across the nation. We've already seen More Monday protests take place in Chicago and one other state that I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know that it is catching on throughout the country where Republican-led legislators are trying to impose unfair and unjust laws on the people of the states. And so I think all eyes right now are on North Carolina, because one of the things that our Republican leadership did was they tried to impose all of their bills at the same time versus piecemealing it the way that they've done in some other states. So everything that has happened here has played out in other states to some extent or another, but not in mass the way that they did it here in North Carolina. So everybody's kind of watching to see if it's possible for them to be successful in passing these extreme and immoral laws. Then you're probably going to see it happen in a number of other states where Republican leadership is in place, and specifically Tea Party leadership there. I do have to clarify that there are some moderate Republicans that we've been able to work with, but this is specifically a Tea Party agenda. It's the whole Art Pope, who is our state's version of the Koch brothers or their partner here. It's all the work of that group of people who would just like to see things done differently in North Carolina and across the country, and the people of the states just don't agree with it.
Absolutely. And you all have been very effective in this coalition building, and it's a lot of it has been faith-based. Can you tell us about that, and is it pitting Christians against each other in any way, or how are people really building such cohesiveness?
Well, the laws that they are passing are so comprehensive that everything that they have passed impacts someone one way or another. It has an impact on all of us. So that being the case, I won't say that there are differences within these organizations, but we are able to put aside any issues that we do not want to weigh in on and focus on the collective work that we have ahead of us. And that is to, at the end of the day, if we can't get convince them to change some of these laws and to restore some of the cuts they've made, then we'll vote them out of office. And so people right now across the state of North Carolina are at the point where they're fed up, they're disgusted and frustrated with these legislators who are passing these bad laws, and we're able to unite around that common cause regardless of what our specific interests are. For us, it's public education. We're here to protect public education, but at the same time, we can't turn our back on the fact that this legislature is passing these extreme voting laws. We can't turn our back on how they are attacking women in this state with the whole abortion laws that they've passed and all of these things that we just feel are not constitutionally sound. It's not good judgment. It's not in the best interest of this state. And so everybody is able to put aside differences and work collectively and collaboratively for the greater good.
It is incredibly inspiring, actually, to hear about this revival in civil disobedience. I mean, I'm not sure there are many huge changes that have occurred in this country without massive civil disobedience. And we just had the memorials of the March on Washington. I mean, this is what it was about. This is how laws change. And I guess this
exactly.
is what you all are doing in North Carolina is a reminder that this is how things change, right?
Hey, you're absolutely right. And the fact is that there's no quit in us. We are not about to stop as they sit back and wait for us to rally out. I've got news for them. We don't rally out. We rally on. This is about a movement, not a moment in history. It's a movement. And so we're going to continue to work collaboratively. We're going to continue to do everything we can to fight back against these bad laws. And we're going to do everything we can to educate the public about what these legislators are doing. We're going to do everything we can to get as many people registered and to the polls as possible to vote next year. I think it's safe to say that a large percentage of the population in North Carolina did not come out and vote last year, but you can bet your bottom dollar that they will be there this year. So this thing is going to continue. As long as they continue to pass extreme and immoral laws on this state, you're going to see people unite, you're going to see people empowered, you're going to see people engaged, and you're going to see a concerted effort to try to fight back against some of this oppression.
Well, Rodney Ellis, this is very inspiring. Thank you so much. Keep us posted. Rodney Ellis, the president of the North Carolina Association of Educators. North Carolina participating in Moral Mondays, mass civil disobedience. There have been like 800 people arrested, right?
There's been about 976 people arrested, close to 1,000 people.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Rodney. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed talking with you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Zaylee, sitting in for Mary Charlotte.